Okay, Shalom, welcome to Tanya Wide Open at G4, and we're Erev Purim. So in our usual wide open style, we're not going to really learn Tanya today. Although we are really going to learn Tanya. Hopefully this is really what Tanya is about, I hope. But we're going to learn about Purim, Bezrat Hashem. And it should be a refuah shleima for Fima ben Liza and Elias and Neshama for Chana bas Yosef. Bezrat Hashem. Okay, so I called this shiur, I gave this shiur last year, but it's I got chizuk from a friend of mine that I should give it over again. I wasn't going to, but he thought I should. So Ari Katz said I should give it over. It's very yesodistic, Bezrat Hashem. It's called Reaching to the Essence of the Essence. Anyone knows anything about the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Mm-hmm. It's a museum.
What?
It's a museum.
Yeah. You know a little bit about them? So in like, I think it was like the 50s, they discovered in Qumran, yeah, like in the Yarden, they discovered
by the Dead Sea, they discovered
a cave filled with like loads and loads of scrolls. Yeah, loads of scrolls.
I think something's speaker on or something.
It's my
wake up.
I'll tell you something really.
Someone should call me every day and say,
stop my wife to stop being free of my wife and my alarm clock, because I get up earlier than her. So instead of using the regular alarm, I recorded into my phone, Shmuel, wake up.
Oh.
And it doesn't wake up my wife, and it wakes me up even better. So that's a good, that's worth that. So I put my alarm on to remember to mention that. But that's a very good,
sometimes
a good idea.
It wakes me up.
What?
Sometimes she wakes me up.
Does she hear something small? She does that from me.
Yeah, well, she just doesn't hear. You hear your name. So when I realised that, I was like, wow, that's a good idea. So I did it, and it really works. It's a very good idea. Anyway, so back to the point. So the Dead Sea Scrolls was this amazing find where they found all of the Sifrei Tanakh. Yeah, there's 24 Sifrei Tanakh. And they found kamiot of all of them. I think Yeshaya they found the most of, like, something like 60 scrolls or something of Yeshayahu, and then I think 5 of Bereishis. And you can look online, it'll give you a breakdown of everything, yeah? There was one of the Sifrei Tanakh that they didn't find any of.
Esther.
Which is weird, really weird, because go to a Jewish home...
Yeah, look to them, they did have.
Well,
so the other two they did that, like Rus.
Everything. Just right. Not Megillus Esther. There was no copy of Megillus Esther found by the Dead Sea Scrolls, which is that's amazing, because it's like one. It's basically the only scroll that, I mean, I've got a Megillus Esther. Yeah, I don't have a Sefer Torah. I definitely don't have any copies of Nach. You know, so it's that's a crazy thing.
They weren't Orthodox.
Well,
they weren't Orthodox.
So they were called the Essenes, yeah? You've learned about them?
What was their name?
Essenes. Yeah, with an Aleph, I think. So to say they weren't Orthodox is an interesting, this is what I want to talk about, yeah? So I did some research on them, yeah? And it's Moedic. And what we learn about life and reality is Moedic from this. Okay, so they had a whole bunch of things, yeah? They were into celibacy, yeah? Extreme Shmiras Abris. Now, I think in out, I'm going to say something that's going to be very controversial. But in the world that we're in now, the way that a lot of us understand Avodas Hashem, Shmiras Abris has become like, it's a big thing that we speak about, okay? And what can happen when we take an inyan And I know we say it's the Ikur Inyan, okay? Because Yesoid is the Yesoid, it's the foundation, Bechula, yeah? And I understand that. When we take an avoider out of context of the big picture of avoider Hashem, it can become counterproductive. As we've spoken about over and over, and what we speak about all the time, is that if our avoider is not even primarily, is absolutely focused on becoming very conscious of what we are, meaning that we have a voice, we have a rotson in us, yeah, that is talking the whole time, that isn't actually us, excuse me, that is making us do things that we don't want to do. Yeah, everyone can fill in the block. You know, I am doing X that I should not and I do not want to do. Everyone could fill that box in. Some of us could put multiple things into that box, yeah? Everyone's got something that they're doing that they don't want to do. So why are you doing it? If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Why are you doing it?
Addicted to it.
Could be addicted to it. Yeah, probably are addicted to it. But then who's addicted to it? Yeah. If you don't want to do it, then who's addicted to it? You hear? So
somebody
we're
else.
Huh?
Somebody else.
Somebody else. Yeah. Someone, some other person. It's the other.
I discovered that when you actually do stop and look back at it.
When you are?
When you actually do stop something. When there's something that, for me at least, it was so much easier than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
If you asked me before, could you ever see yourself, I stopped watching movies, you know. You ever see me in my life not watching movies, you know, when I did watch movies, like, what do you mean, I love movies, like, how am I going to ruin them? But then, now, I don't even notice it. I don't even notice it, and like, it didn't take a long time to go from, you know, maybe there were a couple times I had a little regret, but then you don't notice it anymore.
So it's that's one of the things we learn from the Loshon Sitra Achra. Sitra Achra, which we think is like all bad stuff, yeah? It's not technically everything is Sitra Achra. Anything that you see that doesn't effortlessly bring you to God consciousness is called Sitra Achra, yeah? So this table is Sitra Achra. Everything's Sitra Achra. If your neshama is not Sitra Achra, a real genuine tzaddik is not Sitra Achra. A Torah is not Sitra Achra. Sefer Tanya, anything that's Kadosh is not Sitra Achra. But most of the things in this world are not Kadosh. So a chair is from Sitra Achra. Yeah, what does it mean, Sitra Achra? It just simply means the other side. Why not call it like the Sitra de Tuma? Yeah? Why not call it something, you're just saying what it isn't. It's just the other side of Kedusha, because that's what it is. It's just like a scratch in a rock. The rock, so to speak, is Hashem, Sur Olamim. Yeah, someone came along with a, what do you call it, like an engraved, tool to engrave?
A chisel.
And he hacked away, what? No,
it's just admiring the word, the great word.
What?
Nothing.
So you get this, you've got this perfect rock, a clean, perfect rock. Yeah, which is the Rabbeinu Shlomo in a sense. Okay.
It's a great word is what I was saying. It's a great
chisel.
Word. It's a great word.
Yeah? I appreciate that. Okay. In Hebrew, it's called chakak. The first words of Sefer Yetzirah is chakak. He was choike. What?
It's Purim, I just saw the sign.
He was choike, yeah? The avoider of creation is an avoider of removal. Hashem didn't add anything to himself. The whole avoider of creation is a process of removal. That's what chakika is. That's engraving. You remove from the rock. So Hashem is the tzur elamim. He's the rock. And then I scratch in my name, or he scratched in my name, Shmuel. Yeah. The deeper that charutz is, that chakika is, that means the more I am, and that means the less the rock is. The more you see my name, yeah, that means the less rock there is there. That's what a Rasha is. That's why the Rasha Kohen Mason B'chayehem. They're just a chesaron. That's what a Rasha is. He's just a lack of reality. So it's ironic because the more somebody feels that he is his own thing, yeah, the more he is nothing. Literally no thing. So that's why it's called Sitra Achra. Because, well, what can you say about that scratch in the rock? Just not the rock. There's nothing you can say about it positively. That's why we call Sitra Achra. It's just the other side. The other side of what? The other side of Kedusha. The other side of reality. What is that? No, you can't. There's nothing positive you can say about that. It's just not something. So that's why people who are connected to things that are not real feel so nothing. Because what is the person connected to? He's connected to nothing. So that's the reason when we're zeicher to break through the veil, why once you've broken through it, you're like, I can't believe that I was ever being held captive to that. You understand? That's why the Rishonim are going to look at the hair and think I couldn't jump over it. And the Tzaddikim are going to be looking at the mountains. Why? Because the Tzaddikim, their avoider is in Toiv. They're not fighting between Sitra Achra and Kedusha. They're fighting between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim. So that's Mamash Emes. Those are mountains, Mamash. So look at these mountains. They're thinking, how do I overcome that? Whereas we're going to be, you know, hopefully we're jumping over these little hairs. But that's the reason why it all dissipates so quickly. So what I was trying to say about the Inyan of Shmiras Abris is when we take Shmiras Abris to be something unto itself, and then we take Shmiras Anayim, and then we take Shmiras Aloshen, and then we take Tikkun Amidus, and then we take Shas Sufas Berlimud, and then we take Kavana Tefillah, and then we take the Avoid of Tzedakah, and before we know it, we've got so many different things that we're fighting. Whereas if you just focused your Avoida on getting clear about this moshel of the scratch in the rock, and realizing that it's the part of you that's asking for all of this different stuff is not worth listening to, then automatically all of those avoiders just are seen for what they are. They're just the avoider of saying to that part of you that isn't real, shut up, leave me alone. Why is it so when we take on Tikkun Abris, Shmiras Abris, as its own thing, out of context of the avoider of just being peeling myself away from myself, then it usually is very difficult, makes it more difficult, and then what can really happen, which is a problem, is it can become like an idol. It can become like an avoider zara that we start to worship, and that's a real danger. I was talking to Victor about this. We can, just in the car just now, is as we can identify with anything, as we identify with these things, they become kind of monolithic and divine. And then what happens is when we think that the fight is Shmiras Abris, as opposed to getting clear on reality, everyone's hearing what I'm saying? When we think the fight is Shmiras Abris, the fight is not Shmiras Abris. The fight is just getting reality clear. Shmiras Abris is a revelation of the fact that you haven't got reality clear. The fact that a person's got bayot in Shmiras Abris, that is a gilui of the fact that he is not living in the real world. But that guy, the guy who grew up in the other place and he didn't have those parents, he doesn't have that kind of teva, yeah? He doesn't have such a problem with Shmiras Abris. His issue is a procrastination, which doesn't seem quite as bad, yeah? But it's just that it's a situational thing. So if we get reality clear, when that voice pipes up and says, do X, fill in your X, you are empowered to say no. And that's the silver bullet for all of your avoider. That is avoider Hashem. And that's called going out of the world of period. Because this world of period of separation, we've got endless avoiders. There's endless things that we're struggling to do. But that's Tzadik ben Manasseh Yichyeh. He got through all of that. So back to the Essenes, yeah? The Essenes were into celibacy. They had taken Shmiras HaBris a little too far.
Made a religion.
Well,
made it into a religion.
Yeah, they were very religious. Yeah. That's exactly what we're going to learn about these people. And religion and Purim are allergic to each other.
Essenes, they're called?
They're called the Essenes. Religion and Purim doesn't get on with each other. That's why the our cousins, Yimach Shemam, don't drink bichlal. If we didn't, imagine a Yid that doesn't drink. We have Kiddush. I mean, I don't get drunk. Even on Purim, for the past two Purims, I didn't even drink. I'm not a drinker bichlal, Baruch Hashem. I don't have that nisayon. But it's Asa Lagamri in Oisoy Das, we'll call it that, without an iron. Oisoy Dat. They call him Oisoy Ish. Yeah? I think we should say Oisoy Das. That is the, it's the most trafe thing I know of in existence. Is Oisoy Das, Mamush. Even that you can daven in one of their binyanim, and Alpi the Pshat, it's not as bad as Noitzvius, yeah, or Hinduism, yeah, Alpi the Pshat. But when you learn the Inyan, and you go Lifnim Shur Sadin, and you understand what reality really is, you'll see it's the Ikka Trefkite in the whole world, Mamush.
Islamic theology?
The whole Inyan of that das is religion. That is religion stripped of all of the, like, atheism is also religion. Yeah, wokeism is also religion. Capitalism is religion. Communism is religion. Catholicism is religion. Hinduism can be religion. Yeah, all of these things, everything's a religion. Yeah, but Islam, that's why it's just the ism bit. It also has LA in as well. Yeah, but that is just the ism. It's mamash, the paradigm of all of religion, mamash, and that's revolting. Religion's revolting.
What are you?
Religion. My definition of religion. That's a whole topic in itself. But the way that I define religion, from what I've learned from my Rebbe, is identification with ideas, which we'd call ideology. Which is funny because it's ideology, but that sounds like idol. Yeah, it's like an. It's just, I think.
So what is it, ideology versus theology?
Ideology means that your lower self is scared stiff of death. Your fear of death is driving everything on your human level. Everything that you do as a human being is being driven by this fear of death, which is basically materialize, manifests as the desire to become immortal, to become godly, whether that's building binyanim or inventing whatever, or having a million subscribers or having $1 trillion or whatever that is, yeah, that's what you're doing. So if you don't have access to trillions of dollars or your portfolio, your property portfolio, yeah, then that part of you will latch onto anything that gives you some kind of independence. For example, a person would say, I was abused by my Rebbe when I was 5 years old, yeah? Lo aleinu. But because he doesn't have his property portfolio and because he doesn't have his all the other things going for him, his animal soul, his Nefesh Bahamas, will identify with that, and that will be what is giving him his immortality. So that's why people go to therapy for years. You're a therapist, yeah? People sit in therapy for years and years and years, yeah? Because they don't want to let go of their thing. Not they don't want to let go of it, they can't let go of it. That's what we're talking about, like smoking. The idea of quitting smoking when you're a smoker is unthinkable. it's like somebody putting a gun to your head. It's like, how, what would I be if I didn't smoke? What would like, what would, with any of these things, yeah? And then when you actually rip yourself away, you realize, wow, that was actually draining me of life as opposed to giving me life. So that's what religion is. Religion is the ultimate level of identification with ideas. And when that idea, you call that idea truth, yeah, well, now you're Nefesh at Bahamas, is Mamash. He's really happy. Solid. Because you know what he can do when he's identified with truth? But that also means, obviously, that none of you have been identified with truth if you're not exactly the same as him. Yeah? That when you say something against his truth, and I've seen this. I've seen this by people. In our world, yeah, they'll go... One guy I knew, he didn't put his fingers in his ears, but you'd see if you started saying something to him that wasn't absolutely aligned with how he understood reality, and I knew him very closely, so he'd tell me this, you'd see him like this. His lips just moving slightly, yeah? He'd be chazering mishnayos. He'd start to chazer mishnayos. If he thought that someone was saying something to him that he called treif, yeah? And that sounds like a very heiliger thing to do. Yeah? But you have to assume now that you know what reality is. That's a big assumption. To assume that you hup reality, that takes a lot of gaiva. Like what was the shevach of Avram? That he hupped reality. It took a long time. If he was 3 and the Madregas, but then there's 40, if he was 80, whatever it is. Moshe didn't get Nevuah until he was 80 years old. The idea of having to, you know, reality is not a simple thing. So to say, I understand reality and what you're saying isn't in line with what I understand, so I'm not going to listen to you because you'll be matame me. That guy is now basically, he's become immortal. You realize that? Lafi, his animal soul, he's just become godly. That's what Oysa Das does. That's why they're all prepared to give their lives up for it. Because it's so much more than just my goof. I've become immortal mamash. So that's religion, the way I understand it. The oimek of religion, lefi chassidus, how I've understood chassidus. So these guys, yeah, listen to their matzah. You can check it out on Wikipedia. They were celibate, yeah? I suppose they had to be a little bit not celibate to keep the thing going. But anyway, so it says they were celibate. They had no money. There was no kind of collective ownership. So if you were an Essene, yeah, you could go to another community of Sinim. Yeah, and you could literally, this is what it says, you could literally walk into their house and go and take their clothes and sit at their table and they'd be okay. I don't think they'd be okay if you weren't in a scene, but there was no ownership, bichlal. So you didn't have to, they would travel to people's houses and they wouldn't take their own clothes because they would just take the other people's clothes when they got to their house because it's not your clothes. Yeah, there was no concept of ownership. Communal living, they all were white, yeah? So they were good size to this as well. Yeah? They all wear white. I'd like to wear white. They would go to the mikveh all the time. Constantly going to the mikveh. They were crazy over Tumah and Tahara. Yeah, they were like mamash, really, really into Tumah and Tahara. Okay. And this is the big one. Is that they said that Tchias and Mesim was like a pshutai. They couldn't deal with the Indian of Tchias and Mesim. So I have no idea what Tchias and Mesim is, but one thing I do know from what I've learned is that it's going to be to do with this world. Yeah, I know what it's going to look like, but it's some kind of hashlama of this physical world. Yeah? They explained it as being, it was going to be some kind of ruchnius thing. Don't know what it means, but it's some kind of ruchnius thing, yeah, but not in this world. So this is the real gilui of what their krumkite was. Yeah, their toes. Again, this is a really important point, like we were saying before, is that it's amazing how much bad behavior can come from one problematic hashkafa. If you're concentrating on the behaviors, yeah, then you're like, it can, you know, it's, there's so much stuff going on. But a lot of the time you can trace back an issue to one point deeper, and you'll realize that that accounts for this, 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 this. It'd be like an analogy would be going to a bunch of different doctors, yeah? One doctor, you say, you go to some specialist and you feel dizzy. You get dizzy spells, yeah? So he says you need more iron. Yeah, then you go to another doctor and you tell him that you're very tired, yeah, on a certain day of the week, yeah? Another doctor, you say you get stomach aches. Another doctor say when you get a cut, it takes a long time for you to stop bleeding. I'm just making stuff up, yeah? So you go to all these different doctors and they say this, 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 and this. You come home with a whole bag of Tripot and stuff like that, when all you needed to find out was that the person has diabetes, yeah? And you have to do one Tripot and it will fix
symptoms.
All the surface symptoms is coming from one nakuda. So all of these issues are coming from one nakuda, one tos, which is in my opinion the biggest tos, the easiest tos to make, and you'll hear when we say it what chiddush it is. It's a moedic idea. Zvat Hashem. So that was the Essenes, yeah. So another question is Megillas Esther is the fifth of the Megillas. Okay, number five. Okay. Then
chronologically?
No, when you count the Sifrei Nach, the order, I think it's Shir Shirim.
It's also chronologically the list.
It's also chronologically. So the final one is Esther. So that's the fifth one. That's number five. Okay. There's also Inyan in the Medrash that says Shekol Hamoyadim Asidim Batalim. You may Purim Einam Batalin Le'olam. Yeah, and it brings you a riot from the pasuk there. But the Medrash says, whether you can take this Kapshutoi, I don't think you can take this Kapshutoi, the Lubavitch Rebbe speaks about this, but all of the, everything in the future, all the Moyadim in the future will be in this Batel, and that can't be Kapshutoi, because we know that mitzvahs are nitzchis, so it has to be some kind of an Inyan, but whatever the Inyan is there something about Purim that's for the Asid Lavoi more than the other Chagim. Yeah, then there's also a very surprising thing that is on the same Inyan that the Rambam says, Kol Sifrei Sifrei Mishneh Torah and Hilchos Megillah Chanukah, Kol Sifrei Neviim V'chol Ksuvim Asidim Lebatel Lemoisim Mashiach, Chutz Megillas Esther, V'harei Hi Kiyames K'chamish Shechum Shei Torah, Okay, halachas shel Torah shebal peh she'ena b'tayin le'olam. That's a big thing. You hear that? That the Rambam says, Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Megillah, v'Chanukah, chapter Beis, halacha Yud Ches, that all of the Sifrei Neviim and Kesuvim in the future will be nullified. What that means. And in Moshe Mashiach, for your Moshe Mashiach, except for Megillas Esther, which will be Niskayim like the Chumash and like the Halachas of the Baal, the Torah Baal Peh. Okay, so again, it's like similar to what we said before about. Okay. The Inyan of. The halach yedua, Amar Rav Machayev inish lebusmi bepuya ad lo yada bein aru haman levarach Mordechai. What's the inyan of that? And we've also got the inyan of Kam Rabba shechit el Rabbi Zeira. He shechted Rabbi Zeira. Lemacha boy rachmei v'achi. And the next year. So the next day he davened and he came back to life again. Okay, so we're going to try and answer all those questions, and that is the Inyan of Purim. Is what's pshat with the Essenes that they were like so religious? Why is Megillah the fifth sefer of the Megillas? Also, we can also ask the question: why is it called Megillas Esther, like revealing what's hidden? The halachas, the Inyan from the Medrash about the other Hagim being Nisbatel, and Purim not, and then the Rambam saying that all the Sifrei Nach will be in his battle, and Megillah not, and then the Inyan of drinking Ad Lo Yada, and the Inyan of Rabbi Zeira being shechted by Rabba. Okay, so to open up the idea.
Was it the only thing also written by a woman? It was the only thing that was written by a female.
It was written by what? I thought it was written by Mordechai. I think it's Esther.
Ari Kaplan said it.
It was written by Esther?
It, she wrote it herself and then she tried to send it to the Chachamim to review it, but it couldn't get it back in time and she published it. It's one of the seven prophets.
Okay. I'll think how that could fit in, maybe. Okay, let's think about this, yeah? A camping trip. I went on a camping trip. I haven't been for a while, but I take my kids camping a lot, yeah? Because it's free and it's just geschmack. Yeah, it's like much better than anything else. And it's very like, you know, we work together. It's a whole, you know, we just drive out to a forest somewhere. We have a car, so we bring a thing of water and we just, you know, have fun. So you're going on your camping trip. Your camping trip is made up of all different kinds of things happen on the camping trip. So there's the journey there, yeah, where you're listening to music and you're joking, you've got the windows open, yeah. Then you get to the campsite and now you have to go and collect wood and set up the tent. Yeah, and then then you're gonna make the barbecue later on, and then, you know, your kid, you know, knocks over the Coke on your pants and now you're all sticky and whatever. And then, you know, the younger kids fall asleep and then you're with the older kids talking about the stars or whatever it is, and then you sleep and something, you know, funny happens in the tent and the night, whatever, and whatever it is, and however the camping trip pans out. So you have to make a distinction between the mikroim of the camping trip, what happens at the camping trip, and the camping trip. We had our camping trip, yeah? This happened, that happened, and this happened, yeah? But you could switch some of those things out. You could even switch out all of those things. It would still be the camping trip, meaning there's something beyond, yeah? There's like, the way you can see it is there's a basis, there's like a foundation upon which everything else is gonna take place. The perfect model for it is a screen, an LCD screen, yeah? You have an LCD screen, which is unmovable and unchanging, but it is the foundation for every single image you could ever see, every movie you could watch. It contains the potentiality for every single thing. Yeah? You with me? It's the foundation. And it's amazing because you're not aware of the screen. When you're watching a movie, yeah, you become completely unaware of the screen. Even no matter how fancy and big the screen is, yeah, if the movie is engaging, you're not looking at, you've got no recollection of that, you've got no consciousness of the screen bichlal, which is weird because you would think the whole movie is taking place on the screen and it's only possible because of the screen. Why am I absolutely unaware of the screen? Why is it not even taking up a millimeter, an achuz of my consciousness? So you could look at that as the camping trip. There's this thing called the camping trip. It could go in any different direction. It could go in, it's a moshel, by the way. You could pick this to bits if you wanted to, but just to try and get the idea, try and understand as opposed to not understand. So you've got the camping trip and you get all the different things that happen in the camping trip. And that's like the relationship between reality. Well, that's the relationship between what's called shame and etzem and shame. Shame and etzem. The essence of something and then its name. Isn't that, as we said many times, and I don't know if you saw this on the YouTube channel, it's taken about a month or so. Some guy, we just got it back yesterday, is the stinger, like the intro for our Did you see that? Did you look at it? You probably saw it on the...
Oh, yeah.
With the doves.
What? Before you spoke with the bird.
Yeah, with the bird. So the fact that you remembered it is good. We have... I haven't got a picture of it. We have a little logo for B'nai Aliyah, for the organisation that we have. And I've designed lots of logos in my life. And you never, like, you know, you get this one, that one, and, like, you know, you're never sure if it's... Yeah, but you, then you go with one, yeah? This logo that I made is like a little fire with a black... with a black, like, dove in the front with a little thing in its mouth. Well, so that logo, when I stumbled on it, I didn't know what it meant, but I just knew this. It was like I knew with every fibre of my body that this was the image for my for the organisation, for what we're trying to give away. And it was a good few months later that I realised what it was. So this is the stinger. The intro to the video is a massive eye comes up, yeah, opens up. So there's an eye. This is all very quick, by the way. And then it goes, it blinks, yeah. And as it opens, the iris, you saw it? Right? The iris turns to fire, yeah. It did it really good. The guy did it really well. The iris turns to fire. And the pupil morphs into a bird, yeah? And flies out of the eye, off the screen, and comes back, and flies back. So now it's in front of the fire, yeah? And then it flaps a little bit, and then the eye, there's a blink of the eye again, and it morphs into the logo. So what that is, yeah, is... The eye, like we've said this before, the iris is a moshul for your name. And the pupil is a moshul for you. The iris is the coloured part of the eye, the pupil is the black part of the eye.
Aperture.
Well, that's a bit weird. The iris is the aperture, yeah? Yeah, so the iris is like the aperture. The black part in the middle is the pupil, yeah. So, yeah. So like we said, the in the Loshon of Bruk She'ama, you learn it very profoundly from Bruk She'ama. We say, Bruch Sha'am of Ahaya Oilam, Boach Hu. Yeah, blessed is he. What do we say about him? We didn't say anything about him, Bichlal. We said, blessed is the one who spoke and the world came into being. Blessed is he. Bruch Shemoi. His name, yeah, you go on forever. In fact, we do. That's called the Torah. Yeah, we talk about his name forever and ever. That's like what he does. That's his behavior, in a sense. That's, it's not just behavior, it's much more than that as well. It's like his personality. Your personality is your name, yeah. Your emotional world, your psychology, all of that's your name. What's you? Nothing you can say about that. Can't say anything about that. That's too sacred to be spoken of. And that's like, in the mashal, that's like the camping trip. That's like the actual concept of the camping trip, yeah? That's like the essence. And then what happens, that's like the name. You with me? So when we plug that in, when we plug that into reality, what we end up understanding is like this, is if you want to like ask the question, what is Hashem? See, the Kabbalah is involved in understanding like what he does. You can't ask the question, what is he? Well, you can ask it, but you can't answer it. And that's just like you can't answer the question, what am I? It's basically the same question. I don't know if it's exactly the same question. Just like he's unknowable as he is, so too you are unknowable as you are. I don't know if there's a difference there. I don't know. How do you know him? How do you get to know him? How do I get to know you? It's through your name. That's the only way that I can get to know you. That's called the prosdor before the metraklin. that the Prozdor is the name, that there's no way of getting to somebody without their name. Yeah, that would include their goof, their personality, everything that isn't their mummish. Everything that you could say like this very simply, anything that they have. There's them, and then there's what they have.
You're saying now, by us, we have two separate, by Hashem it's only one, Hashem
Bechon Shmochan? By us separate? As well, right now it's not Hashem, that's the Asid Lavo it will be, Hashem and his name is one. By us, that was the Chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov, he was the Baal Shem Tov. His shame was Tov, which means transparent, which means that his name was an accurate representation of himself. So like we said, the idea of diabetes, yeah, for a bad example, but diabetes can manifest as all different stuff, yeah? That's the same idea as the Rabbeinu Shloim is the Echad Yochid and Miyuchid Mamash. He's an Achdus Pashut Mamash, mufshat from any tsura, from anything. He's just one, yeah? But now that manifests in endless, literally, in infinite ways, So that's again going back to the idea. That's the idea of the camping trip, and then the mikroim of the camping trip. What happened in the camping trip? Yeah, and that's the idea of your life and what happens in your life. You have to know they're two separate. Hopefully, they're not two separate things. Which means what we're plotting for is that the story is a manifestation of this thing that we can't talk about.
Say again, sir. The story is.
What we want is that this story, the life that we're living, is an accurate representation of me that you can't say anything about. The oneness of that oneness. That's what Rav Baruch Hu called living aligned. Yeah, that's the idea of living aligned. That's the idea of being a tzaddik. That's the Baal Shem Tov, where his name was battle to him. So the chiddush, the anivus of the Rabbeinu Shloim is that he, so to speak, handed his behavior over to us, to Am Yisrael. That's called being meyachid his malchus with Am Yisrael. Malchus is behavior, yeah? How you express yourself. So he, in his infinite humility, gave us his behavior. So when we're not behaving as Am Yisrael, he is in Gullus. That means him and his name is not one. You with me? When your behavior isn't aligned with who you are, meaning you're doing stuff you don't want to do, that's called being in Gullus. Or another way of saying that is that your name and you are not one. So the Baal Shem Tov is who's going to shepherd us out of Galus because he was the Baal Shem Tov. He was the Baal. Yeah, you can't, there's no name for that. He was just the Baal Shem Tov. He had a transparent name. So when you would come to the Baal Shem Tov, you would do tshuva. Why? Because you were looking at reality in its face. That's the same with any tzaddik. That's like when you go to, if you go to hear a shir, yeah, and you walk out of the shir talking about how great he was and how he tied it all together and how it was, you know, really interesting, or yeah, they say interesting, yeah, when, you know, whatever it is, yeah, then it could be that you weren't sitting in front of a tzaddik. If you sit in front of a real tzaddik, you will do tshuva. You want to come closer to the Rabbeinu Shloim. Why? Because that's all you're experiencing. The name dissolves. The name is transparent. And all you're experiencing is Kedusha, is the Rabbeinu Shloim. That's what a tzaddik is. He's like a transparent window. You don't look at, when you're looking out of a window, you're not like cognizant of the window. You're just looking at what's on the other side of the window. It's only when the window's like ichi, you know, a schmutzig window, when you start thinking about the window. But the tzaddik is an aspaklan era. He's a clear looking glass. So you're just looking straight through what you're seeing. You see the Rabbeinu Shloim. That's what it means to be with the tzaddik. It's like going back home. So our goal is to align the mikroim, yeah, of our lives with of our life with the essence of who we are. And this is the this is the toast that is really easy to make, is that the Rabbeinu Shloilem is not Ruchnius. He's not a player in the story, meaning he has created Patsufim, and there's the whole Kabbalah Dika universe, and there's Zampin, and there's Erhampin, and there's a lot of funny stuff going on, yeah? Funny stuff. There's a lot of Patsufim, yeah? There's a lot of personalities. A lot of personalities. But all of that, the Ben Ish Chai says over and over and over and over again, is just ways of getting back to reality itself. I want to call that Ein Sof, Baruch Hu, whatever you want to call that, yeah? So we've said that the what we call in Kabbalah Zah, yeah? Zayin Aleph, which is Zeh Ampin. Whenever we say you in all of, all through the Siddur, whenever we use the term you, when we talk to Hashem as you, we are talking through Zah to the Rabbeinu Shloilem himself, Mamash, to Ein Sof. You can't relate directly to Ein Sof. Just like I can't relate directly to you. The only way I can relate to you is through your goof, through your personality. And through your personality and through your goof, I can't relate to, and it's funny, it's layered, because I can't relate to your personality without your goof. Meaning you need to be in front of me for me to be able to have some kind of relationship with your personality. But hopefully I'm not actually in a relationship with your personality. I'm in a relationship with you, the Bala personality, the one who has the personality. The one that, like we said, remember, if you can say, I have it, yeah, then it's not you. And we're not just talking about your car and your house. Yeah, your personality, your intellect. To say you have a Rotson is, that's already, we can say that maybe you are your Rotson. Or maybe you're your Oineg, which has a Rotson. Then we can start, those are semantics, yeah? But for sure we can say that you have an intellect and you're not an intellect. And we learned that from AI. That Bnei Adam created a seichel that doesn't have a goof. They created a seichel. So we can for sure now say that we're not a seichel. We have a seichel. And we're not our emotions, because if you've done any emotional work, you know, you'll know that you're not your emotions. You have emotions. Yeah? They go up and down, however, yeah? And to stay as a normally meant, you need to realize that you have emotions as opposed to you are emotions. Yeah, and then for sure, you're not your behavior. You behave. You do behavior. You have behavior. You're not your thinking. You're not your speaking. You're not your doing. That's stuff that you do. You do it. You think. You speak. You act. You are not the thinking, the speaking, or the acting. So we need to be getting, we need to work really hard to get back to Ein Sof, Baruch Hu, meaning the nothingness of the Rabbeinu Shloilem, beyond all personality, beyond all seichel, beyond midas, beyond everything, yeah, which is the foundation where the camping trip is built on. The camping trip, Lahavdil, is all the different stuff that happens, but you have the camping trip which it all happens from. Just like you have the screen, yeah? You have the screen where it all happens on, yeah? So we're trying to get back to the screen in the Moshe. We're trying to get back to the camping trip, yeah? Going through the Mikroim, through what happens to get to the actual screen, through what happens to get to the actual, through what happens to get to the camping trip, through what happens to get to the screen, through all of his midas and seichel and behavior, back to him, Mamash. And that's not Ruchni. That's not Ruchnius. Because your personality is also Ruchni, yeah? You can't put your personality in, you can't paint your personality, you can't put it in a box. It's something that's Ruchni. It's a Ruchnius thing. So when we're not striving to get back to mamish reality, then we start to take all the stuff that happens much more seriously, and we get distracted by all the stuff that happens, and that is the mistake of thinking that I always learned is true, is that we are here to imbue the Gashmias with Ruchnias. As Yidden, that sounds like a good hashkafa, yeah? That we are here to imbue the Gashmias with Ruchnias. But when you go a little deep, you'll understand that it's the avoider of the Yid is to imbue the Gashmias and the Ruchnias with reality. You want to call that elokus, you could call that a bunch of different stuff. Meaning it's only a person who's stuck in the screen that thinks that the white of the screen, the white, is more heilig than the black. It's only a person who's stuck in the events of the camping trip that thinks that me lying there with my kids looking at the stars, talking about Hashem, is different than my kid knocking Coca-Cola on my pants and me being sticky for the rest of the trip. It's the mindset that's stuck in the graphics that starts comparing the graphics. So when you're in the graphics, and we also have a chiv to be in the graphics, but when we're in the graphics, now, yeah, when I'm lying there with my kids, you know, talking about the stars, that's a much higher experience than when he knocks the Coke on my pants and I'm now all sticky, yeah? That happens, you understand this happened, yeah? So, but only when you're stuck in the graphics do all of these graphics start to take on a hierarchy. But the Yid isn't of the graphics. The Yid is of the screen. He's of the substance of the screen. He's a Netzal, not a Nivra. So by us, Purim and Yom Kippur is the same thing. Whatever you want, Rabbeinu Shloilem, because I'm not connected to the graphics. I'm connected to the foundation from where the graphics all come from. And now, Rabbeinu Shloilem, you tell me that I need to stand there for 25 hours, not eat anything, yeah? Stand up the whole time and cry my eyes out in tshuva and tefillah, v'chula, yeah? No problem, I'm there. Now you want me to mamash get shikha mamash to the point where I don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai and give away all my money and eat meat and dance to stupid songs, yeah? Dress up in something funny. No difference.
So why don't you drink?
What?
So why don't you drink?
Because I decided, what, for the past 2 weeks? I was yet to see the Indian of having a shluf. I was still yet to see the Indian having a shluf, and I decided that I felt that I'd rather not drink for that Purim. So this Purim I think I'm going to drink. So this is the avoider of the Yid. The avoider of the Yid is not bringing Ruchnias into Gashmias. It's just because we come from the Western world where there's no such thing as Ruchnias. So we think that anything Ruchni is mamash heilig, but that's not true bichlal. I've seen a lot of Ruchnias that is mamash very, very selfish, yeah, which is not heilig. So the goal of Yiddishkeit is not to imbue the Gashmias with Ruchnias. The goal of Yiddishkeit is to imbue the Gashmias with Elokus, with the Rabbeinu Shloilem, with reality, and the Ruchnias with reality. That's called doing what's on Hashem. Hashem, you want it done? I'm here. Tell me what. Do I have to, like David in Brochas, do I have to be up to my elbows in dumb nida, looking at these funny things that, you know, that we bring to our Rabbanim? That's not particularly Ruchni. I can't think of, like, I mean, it's crazy, you know, the things that a rabbi has to do, yeah? That's not Ruchni, you're right, it's not Ruchni as Bichlau. It's the Rabbeinu Shloilem Mamash. It's being connected to the foundation. It's connected to the table as opposed to the stuff on the table. And that was the mistake of the Essenes. They were very, very Ruchni.
They didn't go to the bathroom on Shabbos.
Is that true? Yeah? Psh, beautiful. It's the same thing, it's Pasha, it'd be all of these things. They were very, very Ruchni. They were incredibly Ruchni. That sounds kind of difficult, but either way, yeah. No, especially according to like how much I eat on Shabbos.
So it's so holy Shabbos, you don't make.
Yep, and you probably wouldn't eat as well. It makes sense. That's why it makes sense on Yom Kippur that you don't eat. On Shabbos, like the holiest day of the holiest day of the week. And in many ways, Shabbos is even more Kaddosh than Yom Kippur in some Bechinas. Yeah, you're with your wife, Dafka, you're eating food, you shluff more of a chula, yeah? It's like the opposite of what you would think. You would think you would be there mamash in meditation for the whole day. That's what the Bodhi Shalom Shana says to us. It's chevre. Ruchnius is not for you. You're beyond Ruchnius. Am Yisrael's beyond Ruchnius. Don't get me wrong. Tzaddikim, there are tzaddikim who are saying this, who use the word Ruchnius for what I'm talking about, yeah? And you have to ask them, however, yeah? I'm not trying to puzzle other people, Bechlau, because this isn't a secret, yeah? This is known by a lot of tzaddikim. But the Essenes were very ruchni. They were mamash in this world. So when you're ruchni, yeah, you'll be going to the mikveh the whole time. Why? Because Tumen Tahara, that makes sense to me, I'll be ruchnius. Yeah? It's like the guys when they come out of the mikveh and you shake their hand, they won't shake your hand because now they're, I'm not talking about the big rebbers, the real tzaddikim. A regular guy went to the mikveh, he won't shake your hand. It's like, okay, like, probably better to shake his hand because you think you're going to get Tumah because I didn't go to the mikveh yet, yeah? Say that as you wish, but it's a very ruchni thing. The whole Inyan of Tumah Tahara is a very ruchni thing. Yeah, the no money, the white clothing, yeah, and then we'll get back to Tichias HaMesim at the end, because this is mamash the whole reason why Tichias HaMesim is the amud of our whole world. Why Tichias HaMesim is mamash everything, because this is the Inyan of Tichias HaMesim. Why is it the fifth book? Yeah, because it's the... That's called the Goyim even said it, the quintessence of something, yeah? Five is the highest, that's the foundation. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. This level is referred to as the fifth level. That's why the level of Adam Kadmon, to call it a world is very, even to call it Tzilus a world is an Hashem Meshuah, is a borrowed term. But to refer to Ak as world, again, I know there is the idea of referring to Ak as world, but that's just a... not a convention, it's a concession, it's just so that we can speak about it, yeah? Ak's not a world, Bechlau. Ak's the foundation of all of reality. And then we've got the Inyan of Purim not being this battle later, because... Let's take a little line. That the mitzvahs of the Torah are called the Ivrin de Malka, the limbs of the king. 613 limbs, so to speak. Just like we have 613, we're made of 613. Our goof is made of 613, so to speak. If you are whole, the Rabbeinu Shalom's goof is made of 613. Yeah? So we don't say by the Torah... We say Kutcha Brichu Raisa for Yisrael Kuluchad. They're all one. By mitzvahs, we call them the Ivrin de Malka. They are the limbs of the king. There's a certain level of separation between him and the mitzvahs. Don't get me wrong. It's like you and your goof, yeah? There's no, like, I want to do this. My hand goes immediately without any break. There's no, like, my hand doesn't say, maybe, yeah? There's no differentiation. But I still, yeah, B'zot Hashem, as long as you're healthy. But there's still me and my goof. So in that sense, the mitzvahs are Ivrin de Malka, which again is, in a sense, it's the manifestation of that Echad. Yeah? So Purim is not... So that's what that's intimating. Intimating? Is that a word?
Yeah.
Intimating? Yeah? That's what Purim is Muramas to. Purim is Muramas to the foundation. So Ba'asid Lava, Kiviyochel, if you could say such a thing, when the body of the Rabbeinu Shloilem will kind of dissolve away, yeah? Purim won't dissolve away, because Purim wasn't part of the body in the first place. Purim was the fifth, it's the fifth. That's the basis of where everything comes from. And that's why it's such a chiddush. And that's why Ois Adas can't look at Purim. Because that's the chiddush of what we symbolize in the world. They can't even look at wine, although a lot of them, by the side, they A lot of them are shikas. But I know that Lamais and Mamash. But they can't deal with the Indian of wine because they're so caught up in the graphics of the world. The ultimate thing is to give up my life for my ideology, yeah? That's all the things of this world. And that was the Indian of Rava and Rav Zeira. Did Rava actually shech Rav Zeira on Purim and then be Mechayah Mason the next day? Yeah, so I know that if I say it didn't happen, then, you know, I'll get put in Harem. I don't know if it happened, yeah? I don't know, and I don't really care. It doesn't matter. With all the stories in the Gemara, whether they actually happened or not, if you think they happened, and then you're not going to beg the Rabbeinu Shloim for what it means, yeah, then it's better to think it didn't happen. Yeah, you can think it happened, didn't happen, whatever you want. Yeah, but as long as you beg the Rabbeinu Shloim for what he's trying to tell you with this story, yeah, that's the ikkah. So the problem is, if you really think it happened, and then you're just, well, it's just a, you know. It happened. That was it. They just wrote it down. Yeah. Well, then you were tofes the tofu and you lost the ikka. Yeah. You need to beg. What's pshat? So whether it happened or not, I don't know. But the point is that by Rabbi Zeira, they proved that life and death. That's Purim. There's no life and death. There's no. Aro Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Why? Because we're back to the screen. All of that stuff is just stuff in the screen. Now we have a chiyuv to be in this world, and we have to play the rules of the world. If we didn't believe in the world, then we wouldn't keep kashrus, so we wouldn't put on tefillin. But the point of the Jew is that you can be in this world and pay absolute 100% chashivas to the world, and at the same time be kashur to Purim, to the Inyan of Purim Mamash.
That it's just a lavush.
That it's a lavush, it's and a what's lavush. Underneath the lavush?
Not lavush, a gilui.
No,
a gilui is a lavush is a gilui. Okay. Do you agree? What's under the lavush?
Reality.
What?
That's like a costume.
Reality.
No, what's under the lavush is the goof. What's under the goof?
No wait.
Is the personality? What's under the personality? There you go.
Yeah.
Now you're back to Rabbeinu Shloim. And that's Tchias HaMeisim. Because Tchias HaMeisim is, finally the Rabbeinu Shloim will show us that there is, what are the two ultimate extremes on the screen?
Gashmius and Ruchnius.
On and off.
Black and white.
On and off.
What?
On and off.
On and off, black, yeah. And on and off, thank you. Life and death. Life and death.
Quicker.
Exactly. It's either on or off, one or zero. That's called life or death. And that's why Tchias HaMeisim, where the Rabbeinu Shloim is going to show you that life and death are compatible. Why? Because in reality, it's just all graphics on the screen. And the whole avoider of reality is to get to reality. So we play the game that the Goyim create. They're called the Umas HaOlam. But our role as Yidden is to, they can be Ruchni. Ruchnius isn't the domain of the Yidden. That's a mistake. The domain of the Yidden is reality, not Ruchnius. So we're here to bring Purim into the world Mamash, to live in a Metzias of Purim Mamash, which is Purim and Yom Kippurim. Why is it Kippurim? As the Balatam says, it's a Yom Kippurim. It's like Purim. Because the Baruch Hashem is saying, Yisrael, your goal is, you're here to show that my name and myself are one. That's what we're here to do. The only way you can do that is by getting so conscious of reality, so mechuba to the screen, and then once you're mechuba to the screen, now you can start watching the movie. But you never lose consciousness of the screen. And we'll finish. I said this before, but this is the inyan of Pesach. We'll finish on this. Is that The Russia is Yotzi Esatzmo in a klal. Yeah? He takes himself out of the klal. That's the definition of Russia. And the tikkun for the Russia is you blunt his teeth. We said this, no? Remember we said this? Yeah, this is so choshev. This is such a choshev idea. That you blunt his teeth, which is obviously referring to the incisors, not the canines or the molars, because they're already blunt. You can't blunt the canines. The incisors are the ones at the front that cut. Yeah, your teeth do different things. The canines like hold, the molars grind, and the incisors cut. Yeah? So you blunt his teeth. There's only one option. It has to be the incisors, yeah? Why is that a tikkun for his Yotzi Esatzmo Min HaKlal? How's that masakin it? Well, how did he get into the problem in the first place? Because he started dissecting, he cut up reality. Like we said before, there was Shmir Sabris, then there's Shmir Saroshan, then there's Shmir Sanayim, then there's Avoider Shabalev, and then there's Torah, and then there's... He split up reality using his incisors into lots of little pieces. So the tikkun for him is blunt his teeth, chew it up, man, get back to the screen, get back to the foundation where all of these fragmented pieces are. And so what do we say to the tzaddik? The tzaddik is b'china shema. Yeah, shema se v'shem 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 achad. Shinantam levenecha v'dibatabam. Shinantam. Yeah, and Rashi says they should be chad on your teeth. Chad in your mouth. Sharp. Why? Because that's the avoider of Yiddishkeit, is first get absolutely cognizant of a Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, yeah, which is the screen, which is the camping trip, which is the foundation, which is the white light, whatever. And now get involved in the Pratim. That's why we say Shema Yisrael the whole time. That's why when we wake up, we say Shema Yisrael. That's why when we go to bed, we say Shema Yisrael. That's why, because we're trying to get back. We have to keep pulling ourselves back to the screen. And then we're oivid. Being oivid without his kashrus to the oneness of reality, that's not what it's about. Bezrat Hashem. So my brocha to us, Bezrat Hashem, is when we're zoicha to Kriyas Megillah, which is Megillas Esther, which is the gilui of the... Because we don't mention Hashem's name, yeah? So we think we don't say his name, so the Pasha understanding is that, well, he was hidden the whole thing, yeah? Or you could say that we go beyond the name Lagamre. We even go beyond you, and we go into the world of who, which is who is Ein Sof Baruch Hu. That's why we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Ampin, but Zah is just an empty space. HaKadosh is Abba Ve'ima, Baruch is Arich Ampin, and Hu is Ein Sof Mamash. So when we go beyond third person, HaMelech or Hu, whatever it is, that's being Meramez back to reality itself. And that is, if we're Zoicha, that is the experience of Megillas Esther. Is if you do what you follow the halachas to the T, yeah? Don't speak before davening. Don't drink coffee with sugar or milk before that. Just tomorrow. Yeah, if you want to take my advice for one thing, tomorrow is read up on Hilchas Tefillah, Hashkamas Aboker, what you can and can't do before davening. And do everything to the T. Yeah, even the minhag. Don't talk before davening. Don't eat anything before davening. Definitely, definitely don't check your phone or anything like that. Don't do anything before davening. Treat tomorrow as it should be treated every day, but just tomorrow at least. And then it could be that you'll be zoicha to what we've been speaking about, Bashas, Kriyas Megillah. That's my bracha to us all. She be zoicha to Megillas Esther. Bezrat Hashem. Shkriya.